SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Welcome back, friends. It's ITL on Sports Grid, Hour 2 with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. That's us. Hello and thank you. We have got a doozy for you coming up. We have many other shows. The ITL Fantasy Baseball Podcast specifically is the show we did this past week. Great week, by the way. Paul Spohr was on the show later on the Thursday episode. I believe it was on the Monday episode where Bogman, on a little news notey thing, mentioned that the MLB All-Star balloting has opened. And I went, oh, really? And he goes, yeah. He's like, actually, Bubba and I did a ballot last week. And I said, oh, really? Let's us do one. Let's do a ballot. And Bogman went, no, please God, no. Because I absolutely hate it. And maybe I'm a commie to it or whatever, but it's like the idea of putting, which by the way, these players have like, almost all of them have all-star bonuses attached and stuff, to put it in the mud people's hands where every person is a raging homer, They're going to go and they're going to look. Tampa Bay Ray fans are going to be like, ooh, G-Man Choice hitting 300, and they're going to click on it to let the decision in any capacity be put in morons' hands is... I can't take it seriously, and I don't take it seriously. Also, by the way, every team has to have one stupid player. So I said, let's do it. Let's build a roster. You ready? You ready, Boggs?
Going to be all Diamondbacks, right? Because that's what we're homers. So I feel like you have to be a homer when you vote, right? So all Diamondbacks.
Well, I mean, if I want...
You're going to vote for Nick Ahmed, aren't you?
I mean, there's someone I'm not going to vote for. I mean, I bet you put David Peralta in. You're like, well, David Peralta is going to be. Did you put David Peralta in your bracket?
No, I did not.
All right. Well, we'll see where the winds take us here. You know, how we're feeling as all the fans can go and put their National and American League on the docket. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to fill out an all-star bracket. It's going to be so much fun. And we're going to do it in the next segment. So don't go anywhere. In This League, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least three times bigger than this.
Patreon.com/ITL Army. That is where In This League lives. You can live with us. You could be our roommate if you would like. Come over to patreon.com/ITL Army and sign up. You can get access to all of the stuff that we've got going on. We do a bunch of sheets with ranks. We've got groupie rooms. I'm dying because I said the roommate thing and Bogman just felt what I was going to say, like felt it coming. And you had this little like smirk and I couldn't even get through the read there. But all I'm saying is come and check us out. We've got secret shows. We've got live streams. bunch of extra content, access to us, group me rooms, be a part of the community, and you can get all the other fun stuff from real life things to just nuttiness that we do. And you can get involved in it's a way to get into like mock drafts and some of these break things I do. And you're just supporting us. That's the other thing. If you're just like an altruistic person and you wanted to do that, patreon.com/ITL Army. It's why we can do what we do and why Bogman can offer up his apartment to listeners. You're not gonna be able to do that when you move to Texas.
It's my favorite bit. I love offering up my apartment to people, especially when this place, like, I feel like if an inspector came in here, it would be borderline. You know what I mean? Like, it's gross in here right now. I am ready to move. I am. It's hot in Phoenix. I can't open up my windows. No. You know, so it is.
You definitely have a
pure bachelor pad.
Bogman's a buffer guy. Like, I couldn't be like, "Hey, I'm gonna come stop by." He'd be like, "No, stop by in 4 days." Like, you would need 4 days to clean up whatever. God awful sin is in there.
It's just gross. You know, it's a dude's apartment. There's clothes everywhere. Trash is all over the place. Like, I don't live like a hoarder. But if you came in here, you'd be like, "Oh God, something is going on with this guy," you know. And it's honestly, I despise cleaning.
With you. My office, the studio that I'm in, it's just a disaster of stuff. People can see it on there, and I just, you know, if it was a house, I probably
you live with people though. Like, other people could come in there, so you have to keep it somewhat decent. Like,
the house is immaculate, but this office.
But people could come into your office too. Like, I've seen your wife come in there. Like, no one's coming through my front door. So I live like it. You know, I live like if I was going to go to the bar and do something, hotel. It will 100% hotel.
They'd be like, "Who do you think I am?" And you'd be like, "It's not about that." It's like, "We can sit and watch a movie. I'll rent this hotel to watch a movie. You're just not coming back to my place."
Right. Exactly. It's disgusting. And I'm ashamed of it.
I wish you were on it. You know, they're doing a new reality show in Phoenix. I wish you were staying here and you could be a part of it. I would love to follow.
I'd be the most boring reality star.
Nah, but they would press you and they would be like, you know, like, "Hey, let's get you out to the bar." Yeah, because they'd want you to do stuff. And like, they'd send you out to like Salty Senorita. I would just like just fly on the wall to just be there. I want to hear Bogman like do pickup lines, take a girl back. I would give autographed Wander helmet to you. If we could see a reality show, just all
that's stuff. Worth my dignity. So that's good. Yeah.
You could be reality famous.
Right.
We should go and apply. Let's both you and I do.
I love, by the way, that it's like, "Oh, look, it's a Scottsdale reality show." And then it's like, you don't have to live in Scottsdale or Arizona. Like, I saw because someone posted like the thing for it. It's like, you can live wherever. It doesn't matter.
And they posted, they're like, it's like 21 to 40 year olds. And it's like, I get a plug. You're not taking me. Like, you're not going to take
who's the 40 year old that's doing that?
Just train wrecks. Absolute train wrecks. All right. So let's get back to brass tacks here. We're not just staying at Bogman's house. MLB All-Star Game. It's going down. When the hell is it? Like July? Something.
Yeah, it's all July 12th, I think it is.
Okay, July 12th. It's my favorite time of the year is All-Star Games. They mean a lot. Futures game is great, and they are bringing it back. I'll tell you, there's part of me. It's not that far. It's in Colorado. I would love to be traveling and going and doing the Futures game. I really would have little interest in the actual All-Star game because it's just messy. Players don't care that much.
The Futures game is the same way.
No, but the players are a little more into it because it's actually more of a spotlight. It's kind of a big deal. And actually, and a little behind the scenes thing, these guys, when you get to a futures game, it ups the value of some of your extracurricular stuff. So like if they go to a futures game, if they, you know, sign with promoters and stuff, they get more money. They can charge more money. There's futures game balls and stuff. So it's actually,
I've been to a bunch of them.
I know you have. It's more lucrative for younger guys than that. Maybe it is a little bit too for major leaguers, but I will say that baseball major leaguers maybe take it a tiny bit more serious. I still don't think there is, like, basketball and football are just hilariously stupid. No defense whatsoever. Baseball, guys are just trying to swing for the fences. No one's trying to walk, and pitchers are just trying to, you know, throw heat or like buckle curves and stuff. So it's a little bit more serious, but it's a not serious exhibition game where players will just easily not be there. And then also, it's put in the hands of the fans, and the fans are given the opportunity to vote in the starters. And
it's not really the fans' fault as an entirety. The problem is that we see with this. I honestly don't think it's most people voting, but it's when these cities go absolutely crazy. Like, my
example, and maybe you were going to go there, is Garcia Parra. When Garcia Parra was out for the whole year, and the Dodgers fans voted him in, or he played like a handful of games, and he was voted in like the starting first baseman for the
anytime. Anytime you have fan voting, because basketball does it too, right? I mean, remember when the Royals were good and Kansas City had like 8 starters, in the All-Star game because of voting? It's absurd, you know. Like, I get it. Like Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer, maybe, but should Alcides Escobar have been a starting shortstop in the All-Star game? That's ridiculous, you know. And yeah, Escobar was great, but he wasn't All-Star starter worthy. Remember, Yao Ming used to get hurt, but all the people voting in China he'd be the leading vote getter. So it'd be like him and McGrady would make it every single year because they would just the Chinese people would follow the Rockets. So McGrady and Yahoo would be their favorite. McGrady and Yao would be their favorite players. So they would both get in every single year. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. And they stuff the ballots and they just do. It's just not, it's nonsense. It's just absolute nonsense.
You love it. You love voting. I know. You never get mad when Alcides Escobar makes the All-Star team. Who's the ridiculous person this year? Like that you're just, you know, is going to get in and they should not get in. Is there a person off the top of your head, you know, that is going to get in and you hate it? Because they're not voting for any pitchers. So it's not like Bauer is going to get in because people like him. It's only the starting lineups that are impacted, the bench and everything else. Because remember, in baseball, you have to have a representative from every team. So some Diamondback's going to make it.
That's a really good question on the garbage. Okay, let me give you one. How about Corey Seager? You know, how about, like, look at the NL shortstops here. You got Javi Baez, who's got 14 homers but hitting 240. All right, he's all right. Lindor is, oh my God, Lindor or Seager. That could be one of the two. Because I look, there's no other really great. Tatis. I was going down here. Tatis is actually the guy. So never mind. That's not going to happen. But those would be examples because I'm just scrolling through. So that's why
I'm
popping up here. That would have been an example. I don't know if I have a certain player it's going to be offensive. It's just going to be, it's either going to be high stat, or it's really going to most likely just be about cities. That's why places like New York and Texas and California have the potential to dominate some of this stuff.
But
and
it's always like places that don't have anything to do, like Kansas City. Like, you know, those are always the teams. Or,
you know what would make this better? Here's what would make this better, is if they didn't allow a single player from every single team for every position. They should cut it down. Guess what? Kevin Newman, who's hitting 202 with one homer, should not be a votable thing for me. I can click on him if I'd like to right now. He should not be there. They should cut it down because they're talking about starters. It should be the top five divisionally at each position voted by a committee. They could do that. We should take in the NL. Lindor should be off
my lawn.
Lindor should be off of it. He's hitting 217 with a 650 OPS. He should not be eligible to even be voted for. That would make it better. Give me a ballot that's got Baez, Turner, Tatis Jr., and then I don't know. Give me a couple other losers that were playing good at the position, and then cut it from there, and it gets out all the riffraff. So when we come back, we're going to loser it up. And we're going to make a little votey vote. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
In this league dot fans. You could go there right now and you can pick up ITL swag. Stickers, mugs, shirts, hoodies, some long sleeve. That's right. Boggs Jr. Yes, please. Logoed podcast apparel. You got it. Little Fat Lance. Prospects Assemble. All the stuff is there and new stuff coming in the future. Just bookmark inthisleague.fans and it's going to take you to our store and you can pick up some swag today. Do it and wrap it around. Be the guy one time in the future where we see someone in the wild wearing ITL gear, especially at like a game. Wouldn't that be cool if we were like,
that'd
someone sent us a screenshot. They're like sitting in good seats at some game and they've got, you know, an In This League shirt or something. That is a long one of the dreams. The three dreams are we are in the wild and we see somebody wearing In This League stuff. That what I just said. And then actually Bogman has already had one where someone goes, oh, are you Bogman? And they like recognize you out of context. Those are the
do you work for Bogman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are still the most hilarious thing ever. Do you work for Bogman?
Yeah. Those are what we're looking for. So in this league dot fans, go do it. All right. Ballots, except Bogman, you want to defend this shenanigans.
Now, look, I don't really want to defend it, honestly, but you know, you made such a hard argument on the other side. I just want to argue why this is still happening.
Why they shouldn't do the logical thing of what I said is cut down every position to the worthwhile players and then let the fans vote on them. Why you think they should let all the losers, all the guys hitting 200 eligible to be voted on by the homers in their cities.
Please right. I mean, we all know that it's kind of a joke, right? The All-Star game. Like it's been a bit of a joke for a while because it's like, you know, for a while it was, this is what determines home field in the World Series is the All-Star game. Now it means something, remember? And then they went, nah, it's kind of stupid. So let's not do that anymore. So now it's just an exhibition game once again, but shouldn't like the people that take the time to go vote are the people most invested in baseball, right? Even if they're, you know, even if they're dummies and voting for just Pirates or Diamondbacks or whatever their hometown team is and they're homering out, they are the most invested, correct?
Okay, sure.
Okay. So your people that are most invested and going to spend the most money are the people doing the voting for the most part. So maybe you should put the players that they want to see the most in the game that they're going to be watching. It's going to get more, you know, just the popular guys, like especially guys that suck when, you know, Albert Pujols was still getting a ton of votes when he was bad and old. You know what I mean? Just because he's a popular player. We're going to see that with players down at the end of their career too. So I'm not saying that this is the only reason why it should be kept. I'm saying if I'm baseball, that's why I allow this to keep happening. Although I would change it, like you said. Some of these are just absurd. You know, I mean, like I said with Yao Ming, he broken foot. He was out for the whole year, didn't play one game, all-star starter. It's ridiculous.
There's a lot of money and there's a lot of notoriety that's put to it. So let me give you an example. So we're going to do this awesome experiment. Are you going to do this with me? I mean, you already did
your
ballot. Are you going to do a new one?
I'll do another one. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Here's a perfect example. First base in the NL. Jesus Aguilar, I would say, maybe it is arguable, so maybe it's not the perfect case here, but Jesus Aguilar has, in the NL, been the best first baseman. He's hit just under 270, which there's only, of the qualified guys on this list, there is one guy with a higher batting average than him, and that's Colin Moran, who has four homers. He leads in RBIs. He's got 12 homers, and he's got an 815 OPS, which is, you know, near the top of all of this. I would say he's the most deserving, but I'm going to give my vote to Alonzo Wars because he's the most prevalent in my mind. And he's calling it like they see it. You know what we need in baseball? We need someone who's not going to listen to the media and is going to call all them politicians like they see it.
I just
put Pete Alonzo in.
Okay. So now you're doing the exact thing that you hate. You're putting in Pete Alonso because he's popular and he has a weird opinion, even though you just said Jesus Aguilar is the best first baseman in the National League.
Yeah, and he's from New York.
Okay. All right. I feel like I'm getting gaslit here, but that's okay.
And AL, I'm clearly going to put in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because it's not even a question, and anything otherwise would just be silly. It'd be
Vlad and Jesus for me. That's what I have.
Oh, you're doing the Jesus and Vlad?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
Okay, or I should say the Jesus and Aguilar. Mm-hmm. Vladimir Guerrero, 330, 18 homers, 48 stolen bases. All right, Boggs, what are you going to do at second base then?
Second base, all right. So for the AL, I'm going to go with a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Teammate here and take Marcus Semien. He's hitting 290, 13 homers, stolen bases, 32 RBI. And in the National League, I want you to tell me who your National League guy is first.
I have mine,
and I'm pretty entrenched in it. But the National League, there's not a lot of great going on at second base. So
here's what I'm trying to determine. I'm just trying to determine, do I want to make a troll one, or do I actually want to try to do this seriously? I want to try to do this seriously. So I agree with you. Second base. I mean, actually, second base, it's a little bit tougher because Whit Merrifield's also there, but I'm putting Marcus Semien in, and we have two Toronto Blue Jays in there. Second is really, really tough. And I'm looking at these and I am going to say Ryan McMahon. Hometown.
That's a fair one.
I'm gonna say they're playing in Colorado. Colorado's gonna rally around him. He's the closest there. I think that's kind of a skewed one. You know who I think you could put in? Is you could put in Adam Frazier.
That's who I picked. Adam Frazier because
there's
he's leading
no
the
chance
league in hits.
History he gets in.
No, he won't because Pittsburgh is terrible and nobody's watching them. But he is leading the league in hits. He's hitting 329. He only has two homers, so he's not an exciting player, but he definitely deserves to be an all-star. And it doesn't really matter. That's the nice thing about seeing
Nothing
a guy like Adam
really
Frazier.
Matters.
If he doesn't get voted in, he's still going to be an all-star. It doesn't make a difference. They're not going to put any other Pirate in. So he's going to get it on the back end as a bench player for sure.
Get it.
Phrasing. That's right.
Third base, I think, is pretty easy. NL, Chris Bryant, 307 batting average, 13 homers, 38 RBIs. And then Rafael Devers, who's got 15 homers with a just under 900 OPS, 48 RBIs. I want to say he's near the top or leads the league in RBIs. I think those both are pretty easy as starters.
Yeah, I think you can make an argument for Moncada, especially with the way he's been hitting. But yeah, I mean, Bryant and Devers, like you said.
In the NL shortstop, I don't even have to be trolly. I mean, it's clearly Fernando Tatis Jr. That's
yes.
Not even 17 homers, best player in baseball. What do you do with the AL shortstop? Here's one of the things I want to point out. This is why it is a flawed system. When I look at these and I go, oh, what do you do? I think it is going to be the biggest city rallying behind a specific player. And I think the guy that qualifies on both ends of production, I think it's a two-horse race here. I think it's between Bo Bichette and Xander Bogaerts. And I think Xander is going to take it.
Xander, who is who I got. I am all aboard Xander Bogaerts.
We have an AL East infield currently. That is its entire AL East infield for the AL. All right, catcher. Why even waste our time here? Who are you doing for catcher?
it's Buster Posey and Salvador Perez for me.
Is it Buster? Where is Buster? I don't see Buster on here. Yeah, Buster's got to get
336 with 10 homers.
Who did you go with the catcher? Salvi? Yeah.
Salvi. Yeah. I mean, Salvi, these are the two catchers that like have played a ton also. And Salvi, I think Salvi's played every day, by the way. I'm not sure if he's had a day off yet. He's probably had a couple, but I don't remember seeing one. So he has been outstanding so far.
All right, outfield in the NL. This is where I think it's going to get screwed up, man. Like, I look, there are so many
guys that
from, and you know what I look at? I think people are going to go and they're going to, Juan Soto doesn't deserve to be in right now. He's not played at the level to, the only player I clicked on immediately was Ronald Acuna.
There's another one you have to immediately click on. It's not just
Acuna. And Castellanos. I'm sorry, Castellanos.
Yes. And Castellanos has to be.
So you're going to have Homer where Mookie, you're going to tell me Mookie Betts isn't going to get in. He's only hitting 251.
Oh, Mookie Betts is going to get voted in, but he doesn't deserve to be voted.
He's going
to
be voted in the starter.
Yeah, he probably will be.
Who's the other starter here? Joe Winker. Well, I guess Winker. I'm going to put Winker.
Yeah, Winker is probably the best bet. I mean, 17 homers and he's hitting .348. Those are three guys. I think it's way more open in the American League, right?
Who are you going to put? I mean, I'm looking here. I'm not. I mean, if I were really
nobody
leaping
out. I think here's two that I like, and tell me what you think. Randall Grichuk has been an amazing fill-in for George Springer.
I'm not laughing at you. They will literally let me put in Jared Kelnick as a starter.
I saw that he's hitting .096. And I got my outfield sent down, and you can still vote on him.
Okay, I'm sorry. Finish your outfield, and I'll tell you my ridiculous.
Well, I only have two so far. Well, actually, I don't even know who my third is. So
here's my outfield, and this will never happen. Here's my outfield for the AL: Adolis Garcia with 16
I have him.
Homers.
He's my other two.
Mitch Haniger with 15 homers, and Cedric Mullins, who's hitting .323.
Yeah. I think Cedric needs to go in there.
Statistically, that is your outfield for the AL. If you were just going off of performance like that, right?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm with you. I like Randall Grichuk just because he's filled in for Springer so well, and he's hitting .277. He has 13 homers. I think he deserves a nod. But we already have a ton of Blue Jays, so I get it. You know, but yeah, I think Mullins and Adolis have to go in.
And then for DH as a starter, I think Yerman's going to get a lot of. Otani. I'm going to put Otani as the starting DH. There you go, in the AL. Yeah. And there is none in the NL. So there you go. There's my ballot. I can review it. I can pick it. And it's incredible. Actually, you know what? I had so much fun. I changed my mind. I want to do this all the time. But
well, you have five more votes for the day. Go do it.
You don't want to know what? I think next I'm going to make a trolley one. Jared Kelnick is going in. It's going to be great. All right. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, In This League. We're back. Thank you guys for tuning in and hanging out with us. We've got a little bit more for you in hour two. Hour three coming up with Bubba. You guys going to do another bracket or something like that? Or a poll, a ballot?
Well, we're going to talk about a bracket. And we're going to talk about the college football playoff proposal here, which is... I would love it. I know a lot of people, specifically traditional college football fans, Alabama fans, Ohio State fans, Oklahoma fans, don't like it. And I understand that, but I love it. I love it.
We could also take some time here if we wanted to talk about how correct I was with Julio Jones.
You know, we did enough of that on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. So I feel like Mark McGwire when they're, we're not here to talk about the past. Yeah. Here to talk about the future. So
I will tell you, though, the one new development is the wearing of number two. I haven't actually been bothered by the number thing because for whatever reason, it's just a little quirk. I know a lot of people don't care. The number thing bothers me. I got over, though, wide receivers being able to wear like the teens and stuff pretty quick, you know, like 11 and 10. I got over that pretty quick. There is something about like a running back wearing number six that is just never going to like work well, or a linebacker wearing like number 18 or whatever they can do.
I like linebackers wearing number one.
I hate it. I really, truly hate it. It goes so college, but there was something jarring where AJ Brown apparently offered 11 to Julio. He said no. For whatever reason, people thought he was going to be six. Was that his college number or something?
No, eight was his college
number. Oh, okay. Everyone thought that. And then he came out and he's going with two. And everyone's like, his logic is 1+1. But then there's also some conspiracies out there, Boggs.
How about he misses his best friend, Matt Ryan, so much, who wore number two. I think it might be honoring his buddy Matt Ryan, who also wears number two.
It could also just be 1+1. Seems like something maybe Julio would do. Just like one plus one. I got to tell you, two is the worst number a wide receiver could wear. I think there's not one I hate more. Number two.
Not number one, not like seven.
Three's better. I don't like four. Okay, so.
Dude, seven is terrible.
No.
Seven to me is just because I, watched Roethlisberger for the last decade and a half, seven is such an iconic QB number. It's weird to see any other position.
I will tell you the order of the single digit numbers. I think that I hate on a player would be two is number one. And outside of a quarterback, but how many quarterbacks do you see wear two outside of Matt Ryan? There's not many. I hate two as the top one. I don't like three. No, I dislike four. One, two, three, four, five, six. It's two, four, and six. I think those are the big ones.
The worst?
Seven's pretty bad. Seven would
be on the end of that. Let me ask you this. First of all, I think you're going to get used to the numbers after a while. I did pull up an article to tell you that Buda Baker's wearing number three because he loves Allen Iverson. So that is hilarious to me. I knew you would hate that one as well. So I wanted to bring that up. But is it worse? And I think after a year of this, you'll be not fine with it, but you'll just
it'll be
background noise, right? Isn't it weirder to see a pitcher wear a single digit number than it is to see even like a linebacker wear something weird? Or
it's not. Yeah,
How about Mac Jones wearing 50 right now in camp?
Oh, I mean, that if they allowed the quarterbacks to go beyond 19,
I think they can wear 20s, but I don't think they can go up to 50s. So.
I mean, there was an ASU quarterback that used to wear number 22 a long time ago, and I hated it.
Doug Flutie wore 22 in college.
I hate it. It's the worst thing ever. No, the pitch.
It looks weird. It definitely looks weird.
I don't like pitchers wearing single digits, and I don't like basketball players wearing like double zero. I think those are lame. But it's a different level of wide receiver wearing number two or a defensive back. It's just back to college days. But again, But here's one thing I recognize. That's a little bit of my there's unwritten rules in baseball. Like it's
sure.
like
kids have fun. It's your old manness.
It's
sure.
My old manness. And at the end of the day, they want to have fun and wear, jerseys they've worn in college and honoring guys like Allen Iverson. At the end of the day, it's okay. It's just it's the scheme that bothers me. Looking and seeing a cornerback wearing four doesn't sit right to me, or a wide receiver wearing number two. Julio's going to wear number two. We got that. And I wonder if he's going to show up here. Last week, we did the Fantasy Pros article of running backs and tight ends to avoid. For whatever reason, that was again, I still don't understand the logic of why they put it together. Why not do tight ends and wide receivers to avoid and then quarterbacks
and running backs? Yeah.
Something like that, but whatever. It's our article. And last week, we were picking apart, and this is who the Fantasy Pros staff. So again, check out their article. We're kind of taking off and we're reading about it here. But I thought we'd go through a couple at each position here, Boggs, and get your take on it. And actually, let's move down to wide receivers because Jason Komlowski of Fantasy Pros indicates that Julio Jones, as their wide receiver 15, he's wide receiver 15 on their ECR, he designates as a wide receiver you should avoid this season. And 15 is lower than even you have him. So I already know where your take is going to go. But what do you think about him being singled out on this?
I'm not avoiding Julio Jones this year. And I know that is probably counterintuitive to a lot of people, like, this guy. And I understand that. Look, Matt Ryan had 145 more pass attempts than Ryan Tannehill did last year and all that stuff. But Julio is one of those guys, and there's not a ton of them, but there are plenty of wide receivers that are going to succeed regardless of how bad that quarterback position gets for the most part. I mean, if you get down to third or fourth string, okay. But look, you remember Larry Fitzgerald performing with John Skelton, and we've talked about this. All those guys. Yeah, TJ Yates and DeAndre Hopkins, right? So I think Julio's not taking a step back to one of those guys. And honestly, I'm not 100% sure it would matter if he did. He is an outstanding wideout. He's going to get open. He's going to score. He's going to have big games. And he's still a wide receiver one to me. I'm not taking him in the first round anymore. Like, he used to be a borderline guy, but he's not that. but he's still very, very good to me. I have him at 11, so I'm not avoiding him at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, I don't want to be like taking all their stuff. I want you guys to check out the article. But yeah,
well, as long as, I mean, you understand the logic to it, right? Is he's moving to a new place. He's got a dominant number one. They run the ball a ton. I understand the logic. I'm just not going
to
follow it.
Yeah, it's but like he acknowledges something that is clear to me in this is like, it's already a huge ADP drop comparatively where he was. So he says he understands that, but his point is it's not enough of a discount. And he says that he would have Julio Jones closer to the Tyler Lockett, Cooper Kupp range of around wide receiver 25.
I mean, that's just way too low to me. I'm taking him way over Cooper Kupp. And I like Kupp, but I'm taking him way over Cooper Kupp.
So here's an interesting one. This is a big one. And let me see who wrote this and make sure where we are on time right now. So I want to get these quarterbacks. Jared Leese says, Devontae Adams at wide receiver number two is an avoid this year. Talking about, he's really focusing on Jordan Love as the quarterback and where that would put him. And kind of ends it with just saying like, he'd rather someone else take the risk. So, I mean, what do you think about? Because I'd also point out in this conversation is the range that Devontae Adams has to go is something else to consider around the running backs. Julio doesn't have that same issue of like, you know, there's probably already 25 running backs that have been taken by the time you consider Julio.
I feel like, and follow me with this because it gets a little meta and weird, but I feel like the logic for Devontae Adams being lower is better than the logic for Julio being lower. So I don't know if you agree with me on that, but it's because of the risk of where you have to take Devontae. I get that. He's still my wide receiver one. I think, you know, first of all, I think they're going to work out something with Aaron Rodgers. Even if they don't, though, I like Jordan Love. I've said that a bunch of times. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback, and I'm excited to see what he's got. And there's a lot of buzz about him in camp right now. So I'm still on Devontae Adams. I think he can perform with quarterbacks way worse than Aaron Rodgers. And even if Jordan Love is pretty good, he's still way worse than Aaron Rodgers. So I think he's going to be okay, and he still deserves to be in that wide receiver number one spot. So I don't feel much risk taking Devontae.
These are two really interesting ones. I'll do a quick one on this. Brandon Ayuk gets singled out here by Andrew Hall, and he is the ECR wide receiver 25, where the other guys said that's where Julio should be. And he kind of, you know, he's going to go through a lot of the motions probably about running, and Deebo is there, but says that he would rather have guys like Tyler Lockett and T. Higgins in there. So quick thoughts on Ayuk as essentially a top end wide receiver three as a fade.
I agree with this one a little bit. I mean, I have him at 27, so I'm lower than the ECR, but and the logic is they get Kittle back for the whole year, Deebo back for the whole year, you know, Jimmy G, maybe a new quarterback as well in Trey Lance at some point. So I understand the logic, but he's still wide receiver three to me, so I'm not burying him.
The last wide receiver we'll talk about, this one's really interesting. DK Metcalf by Derek Loughlin, who they have as the wide receiver seven. As I'm doing a quick glance, I mean, there's so much in here about, I think, Tyler Lockett, he talks about how Tyler Lockett outpaced Metcalf in targets per game, and kind of talks about him still being a top 24 wideout, but he would rather, you know, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, and even cites some running backs in Antonio Gibson and Najee Harris as second round picks he would rather have over Metcalf.
I mean, I'd rather have Najee, but give me a break. I mean, I love DK. He torched guys last year. We saw him run down Buda Baker. We know he's bigger, faster, stronger than everybody. He's learning the position with Russell Wilson. He's got a good number one, 1A, 1B, however you want to call these guys between Lockett and Metcalf. And he dropped touchdowns last year. And let's not forget that. He dropped a couple. So I think he could see even more touchdowns this year. So there's no way I'm fading DK. Not at all.
So here's the big connection, and we'll only do one quarterback. I'll spoil a little bit. Like, Patrick Mahomes shows up on here because everybody's going to fade quarterback one. Aaron Rodgers, okay, sure. But check this out. Russell Wilson at quarterback six, and it's not by the same person, is by two other writers that note Russell Wilson as the quarterback to fade. So now you see Metcalf and you see Wilson in there. And one of the guys, Connor Riggs, says he would rather have Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, and Tom Brady than Russell. I think he's saying then take Russell Wilson at quarterback six. I'm not sure he's 100% saying he'd rather have him for the value, but he would rather take those guys and not take Russell Wilson in.
There's some risk. I mean, look, he's getting hit a bunch. He's a smaller quarterback. You know, he is upset with the Seattle situation, apparently, you know, like we've heard. So there is some risk to Russell Wilson. I just think when you get out there and they start playing, you're going to see the same old Russell Wilson you've always seen. So I'm not fading him. He's not a target for me, though. So I kind of understand not wanting to take him above those guys where they're going. So Russell Wilson is not a guy that I have to go out like I'm gung-ho about, but I'm not going to lower him because of these risks. I think you're going to see the same Russell Wilson you've always seen.
Yeah, and the logic of it's an interesting thing when you talk about quarterback strategy. I'm a believer in those top guys. Like, you know, I might not take Mahomes where I can take Lamar a little bit later, but there is this like middle tier of good guys. Like Russell Wilson's really good, but where you could maybe fade him and wait rounds upon rounds to get a Jalen Hurts or a Herbert.
Right.
It is kind of enticing because I think the gap is much smaller from Wilson to Herbert than it is Wilson to Mahomes or something like that. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to end out hour two right here on In This League.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In This League.
You are too easy.
Final segment, hour two, Bogman, Welsh, and then Bubba is coming in. I step out, Bubba comes in. So the show doesn't end. It's just the Bubba and Bogman show is going down. Boggs, we were just talking about the Fantasy Pros article and word coming out that the NFL is exploring playing in Germany. Oh, play in Germany. In Australia. You know what I want? Them to not play in places that the game would be at 2 a.m.
What is worse? Playing, NFL games in Germany, and I think Spain is on the agenda as well. You know, that we've already got games in the UK every year in London. But what do you think about which is worse? The NFL moving games to foreign countries, or if you could get rid of one, that or fans voting for the All-Star game?
It's a great
I get rid of the foreign NFL games.
I know. Well, you would because it's about your convenience. 100% because it inconveniences you to wake up. I could have answered that from, you know, that $1 million, you know, those game shows where it's like, do you know your friend or your
yes,
you
final
know,
answer.
Yeah. I would be great at that game for you because I could have answered that in a heartbeat. We would have won $1 million. For me, I think it's the fan voting still. I think it's the worst. Like, I get what they're trying to do with expanding the game and other reaches. Like,
Hold on. What if I throw in jersey numbers for NFL players?
So wait, what's the deal? What are you offering me here?
You leave the fan voting as is.
Okay.
But you are the determining factor for NFL jersey numbers now.
And I can say they don't have to do these games overseas.
No, the overseas games stay, but you get to change the jersey numbers.
Oh man, I think I would still go fan voting.
Well,
because
that surprises me.
But okay. I'm acknowledging that I'm stuck in some weird number way. But at the end of the day, I want players to be having fun because it makes the game better. And maybe it's one of those things that like younger people like to see number two or something like that. I don't know. So I acknowledge that the van voting is still for the dumbest of the dumbest. So I would want that to be gone. And maybe, you know, like I said, it's good to expand the game to other countries, but it also is a huge disadvantage for players. And that's, and I don't want my team to do it. So, all right, that is it. I am out of here. It's not it. That's it for me. Bubba is coming up with Bogman. Hour 3. Don't you go anywhere. We're right here on NBC.